This morning's next public reading comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 17. Now, before I read just the first 11 verses. The Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Many people refer to that as the Lord's Prayer. Well, beloved, that's not exactly true. John 17 is actually the Lord's Prayer. The Our Father which art in heaven is called the modeled prayer. Because if you take the Our Father and you break it down, my wife has a little chart that she made for us years ago. It's actually a point of certain things that you were to pray. You first start off by acknowledging God, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So there's the adoration from you to your Creator. And then the rest of that model prayer addresses daily bread, addresses not being led into temptation, things of that nature. John 17, this here, think of it as an inner sanctuary. The very heart and soul of Christ rises to the top. If you are a believer in election and predestination, you are going to find gold nuggets on the very surface of the ground. You don't even have to pan for it. It's going to be shining right in front of you. This is heaven come to earth. I want you to get that feel. This is Jesus to the Father hours before his betrayal. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, now notice, the hour is come. All the other references, only in John's Gospel do you find that little phrase about the hour. Up until now, it's my hour hasn't come. My time is not ready. Now the curtain opens. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Notice the exchange between Father the Son, Son the Father. Beloved, you're getting a little peephole into heaven. What was going on in heaven even before creation? Even before God made Adam, even before Jesus was conceived, what was going on in eternity past? This mutual love between Father, the Son, Son to Father, Spirit to the Son to the Spirit, this mutual expression of love. As thou hast given him power, and the Greek word here means authority, over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. In the Greek, the verb refers to an action done way back yonder, before time. And it also implies an action that can never be taken back. Beloved, there's your assurance. There's your assurance. Your assurance isn't based on what you do. It's based on what he has decreed. And this is life eternal, that they may know thee, God the Father, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. So what is eternal life? It's not walking an aisle, raising a hand, mumbling the sinner's prayer, going to church, writing a check. Salvation is that you are you individually, you know who the true God is. He's not a statue. He's not a painting on a wall with a long-haired hippie with blue eyes and white skin. He's more than that. And now you know who Jesus Christ is. He wasn't a magician. He wasn't simply a good teacher. He was God in flesh. I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. Beloved, he hasn't even gone to the cross. He hasn't even uttered the words, it is finished. And everything in verse 4 is past tense. I have glorified thee. He hasn't been crucified yet. What do you mean that you finish what? the work that thou gavest me to do. He hasn't gone to the cross. He hasn't been buried. He hasn't come out of the grave. And yet he speaks in the past tense. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. Jesus is beseeching his Father to go back to heaven and to have that beautiful interchanging relationship with his Father as he had before he became born and laid in a manger. I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Election. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept my word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. Notice from the last hour, the one who was to come, this Messiah that was prophesied, he would not come with his own agenda. He would not come with his own 3x5 cards, with written out sermons. He would come simply to give his Father's words. And they have received them, and have known surely that I came from thee, and that they have believed that thou didst send me. Beloved, that's salvation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there's a God, a true and living God, creator of all things? And do you believe that he has a son named the Lord Jesus? And the fact that God the Father gave God the Son a script. He told him what to say. And as you receive the Father, you inevitably receive the Son. But if you reject the Son, you must reject the Father. Beloved, is that verse 8 you? And they have believed that thou didst send me. Now watch this. Verse 9, church, kills the rapture. Watch. I pray for them. He's praying for his elect. I pray not for the world, and he's not referring to the planet. He's talking about the world of the non-elect. But for them which thou gavest me, for they are thine, and all mine are thine, and thine are mine, and I am glorified in them. And now I am no more in the world, meaning death is imminent, but these are in the world, like you and I. And I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. Now look at that verse 11. Look at the security. Keep. Keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me. Question. This is a prayer by Jesus to the Father. And Pastor Bob's going to ask a very chilling question. Does God the Father ever reject a request from his Son? Let that sink. Verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Look at the security. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that's Judas. What follows next? That the scripture, what scripture? The Old Testament might be fulfilled. Please be seated, and may God choose to bless his word. I haven't come to the part with the rapture. That's going to be in our next reading, unless I missed it. No. Okay. All right. So, beloved, what do you think? What do you think about your security in Christ? Think of my question. Show me in the scriptures, and we know that Jesus would get up before dawn, before the sun even shined itself on the mountains and on the plains and on the rivers and whatever. He would get up first thing in the morning while it was still dark, the apostles were still cutting wood, and he would go up into a mountain to pray. I want you to look at that passage. Keep, keep those whom thou hast given me. Keep them from being lost. And the only one that was lost was Judas, because he was never saved. He was that nasty second ground hearer. He's the same ones in John 6:66 when Jesus got down and, you know, he got down there in the weeds, and they didn't like this idea that no man can come unto me unless the Father has granted that. And they turned their back and walked no more with him. And then Jesus turns to the 12 and says, well, you guys going to hightail? And Peter, bless his heart, oh, to whom shall we go? Only you have the words of eternal life. And then Jesus looks at the same band and says, you know, I chose you all, but one of you is a devil. And John tells us, writing years later, oh, by the way, he was referring to Judas. Look at that.
Wherever can you find in the New Testament that when Jesus cried out to his Father, God the Father rejected the plea of his Son? Never. Never. And those who teach loss of salvation, I look at those people and tell them, you are a blasphemer. You have slapped the cheeks of Christ with your demonic doctrine of loss of salvation. Because my Bible says that Jesus prayed to his Father, keep through thine own name those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are one. And I look at these bird dogs and I say, either you have been taught wrong or you're still yet in your sins. If you believe you can lose salvation, then God the Father and God the Son are liars. But this bird dog is a Bible believer. And I will take God's word over anything that flies out of your mouth, irregardless of your college degrees. That doesn't impress me. This impresses me. And so, beloved, listen, this is Jesus' prayer for you. This is Jesus' prayer on your behalf to his Father. Question, whenever did God the Father reject any request from his beloved Son? Never. So do you see my passion? Those who say otherwise, what Bible are you reading? Oh, may God choose to bless his word. Amen.